Our God is a missionary God, and we are His missionary people. You're listening to The Sent Life, the official podcast of the Center for Great Commission Studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Short-term mission trips. We talked about the why, but how do we do them well? This is The Sent Life. Welcome to this week's episode of The Sent Life. If you joined us last week, you'll recall that this is a two-part episode that we're doing on short-term mission trips, all about short-term mission trips. So you'll also recall that Scott Hildreth isn't with us this week. So what we've decided to do, I've brought in my associate director from the Center for Great Commission Studies, Walter. Walter, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Great. I'm just glad to be here.
So good, it's, good.
Kind of nice to chat with you guys today.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm glad to have you on. So how are things going now that you're adjusting and settling into the role in the center with us?
Things have been going really well. I've enjoyed getting to meet some of the people, get to be a part of what we're doing here with the CGCS. I just love it because it's really the calling that God has given on my life, and to be able to help equip and mobilize people to go and be a part of the Great Commission around the world, I couldn't think of a better job than that.
Excellent. I feel the same way, man. I really enjoy what we get to do in the Mission Center at Southeastern. One of the things that I think is a benefit for this particular episode is the work that you're doing with us in the Mission Center now. So if you'll, for those of you who are listening, remember last week we started this topic of short-term mission trips, and we spent some time interviewing a couple of our students on the value that some of the short-term mission trips they had attended were for them, the value that they had received from going, how it had either helped them in their understanding of their calling or perhaps their pathway and direction in ministry. And so we talked about why a mission trip is of value to the people that really are participants in the trip. What I want us to do today is drill in on the how. If this is the kind of thing that local churches should be engaged in doing, how do we ensure that our mission trip strategies work well? And so hopefully for those of you who are listening, this will be an opportunity to do one of two or three things. If you're in a local church setting or you're in a ministry setting where it's kind of 0-1, we don't actually do short-term trips, but we think that there's value in doing them and we'd like to understand how to do them, hopefully there's some benefit from this episode for you. For the majority of our listeners, I have a feeling you're in a setting, maybe a local church setting, where you do them, but it would be of benefit for you to sit back and think through how you're doing them strategically and whether or not you're doing them, you know, doing them well, or you're doing them in a way that is going to get the most benefit, both for the field and for your church, out of them. And so hopefully it'll be of benefit to you. And then finally, we've got listeners who are all over the world serving as field personnel in various countries, and hopefully you're all relating back to your local church or you've got church partners, and so perhaps this is going to be of help to you as you relate back to your partner. So I'm hoping this hits all the bases on the different kinds of groups and people that we know listen to us. That's what we're going to try to accomplish today. Now, I say all that to say, having Walter with us, one of the things he does for us now in the center is help lead our mission trip strategy as a school. So I'll let you talk just a bit about what we do and how we think about it.
Yeah, so if you guys got to listen last week, you got to hear from Chloe and William, and I love getting to hear that because really it impacts our students. We have it built in as one of our requirements for a lot of our core degrees, so we believe that this exposure to the ministry and missions overseas is valuable, but we want to do it well. We don't want to just send people haphazardly or not prepare them to do the job once they're there. We also don't want to be the one who's leading and telling the field what they need to do. We want to hear from them what is strategic for them, and then also make sure that it's going to be a great experience for our students to be able to do the work of the ministry. So it's got to be part of the core missionary task. You know, are we going to evangelize, disciple, help with healthy church development, leadership training or partnership, you know. So we were very specific on the type of trips that we'd lead, the ministry that we do while we're there. And then also We want this to be an educational experience that's both mutually beneficial for the field and for the students. So we're very specific on where we go, who we partner with, and the type of ministry that we do. But we also want this to be a lasting blessing for the field and for those that we're going to minister to. So we're trying to keep all of these things in mind when developing a trip, when leading a trip, to be very strategic with this, so that it's not just something that we do once and there's no lasting benefit. I think Dr. Robinson says it like this, you know, it's like lighting a match. That match has about 7 seconds before it burns out. But if you're strategic with where you put that match, it can ignite a fire that continues as long as somebody is there to stoke it. So that's what we desire to do with our mission trips.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent analogy for how to consider the benefit of a short-term trip, because there's such a short moment in time. But done well, in a healthy way, with high impact, and a short-term mission trip can be a catalyst. For something that's much larger than itself. So you mentioned all kinds of things. There's a bunch of different plates that we're trying to keep spinning in a healthy short-term trip strategy. And I heard two or three things that I think are helpful for us to walk through as far as the why, the how, and the where of a mission trip's strategy, a short-term trip strategy. So let's take those in turn.
Sure.
Coming from a local church perspective.
Yes.
Why have a short-term mission trip strategy? Let's start there.
If you love the Lord, you will go, right? Basically, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we need to be a part of that. And, you know, and it's a very real critique that we hear a lot. I served as a pastor for 7 years over discipleship and missions. Mm-hmm. And so we would hear this a lot of times is, why should we go over there, spend the money there when we have such a need here? And so kind of helping develop that culture is very important to show the need, because there's plenty of people, as you heard last week, William said, that have yet to hear the name of Jesus. So unless we go and have a strategy to mobilize and to go, they remain in darkness, separated from Christ for eternity. And so we really have to be strategic, because we've been given this as stewards, as pastors, as people in the missions field, of how do we strategically think about mobilizing the army, which is the church, to reach the nations which remain lost. So I think, one, we have to recognize the need. We have to know why we're doing what we're doing. Otherwise, if you don't know the why, you run out of steam pretty quick, and you don't get anywhere very fast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you don't know the why, you can wind up going to do other things than the
exactly,
why,
right?
And so if you're not careful, you wind up spreading yourself off into all kinds of different activities that might sound like good things to do.
Yes.
But having a clear focus, what I would say is a Great Commission focus, right? Having this clear focus on making disciples among the nations and the central importance of that to the mission of the church, and the urgency that is presented to us by a world without the gospel. There's so many places in the world where people are born, live, and die. They never have an opportunity to hear the name of Jesus, never in their life meet a Christian. And that should be unacceptable to those of us who sit in, you know, rows of pews Sunday after Sunday and have that opportunity. And so mission trips, done well, they narrow in on that central why. One of the questions that I get a lot about them, though, is who the trip is for, if that makes sense, right? So why does a church do a trip in the sense of, like, is it for the people that are going on the trip, or is it for, like, the people on the field? Like, how do you parse that one? How do you think through that issue?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
So it's actually for both. It's for the field. It's for the people you're going to minister to, but it's also for your church. And it's in that order. Right, you're doing it first for them, and then for us. And a lot of times we get that flipped. We'll say this is like boot camp for our discipleship ministry, right? So we're going to help our members become really great Christians by sending them overseas to do something. And see, and that's not entirely untrue. I mean, most people do come back with a fire or passion to see that God can use them, because they've got a front row seat to be used by God. But that's the wrong order, because if we come with that order, then it becomes all about us, our needs, what we want, our our agenda, and then we typically can railroad really what the ministry is on the field. So we're going to support the missionaries in the ministry on the field because those are the ones who are going to be there after we leave. So we're going to prop up their ministry because they're the ones who are doing the work. We are there to kind of add fuel, so to speak, to their fire that they've already ignited there. And we're also going to make an impact for the nations. We are going primarily for those who haven't heard, right? So we're going as a support for the field team. We're also going to truly reach the nationals that we're going to pour into for the Great Commission task. And then lastly, we're doing it for our church too. Mm-hmm. And that's typically the order that works the best.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really helpful paradigm to keep in mind for anybody that's engaged in planning short-term mission trips, because it's easy to get either not see one of those audiences at all. Sometimes we forget the missionary, the field team, as an audience. Sometimes we forget the people we're going to serve. That may sound hard to believe, but oftentimes that's a real possibility because we make the trip so much about the people on the trip and what they'll get out of it. And so making sure we realize there's three audiences here for a short-term mission trip. Those who are lost on the field and in need of the gospel. The long-term personnel, our missionaries that we've sent over there and they're going to be there after we leave, are also an audience for this trip. And then finally, those that we would take from our church to be engaged. And keeping them in that order, right?
Mm-hmm.
That matters.
Yes.
For what I think is the next thing that we need to consider. If that's the why that we do it for the field, but we also do it for the benefit of those in our church. How do we do it becomes the next question for us. And I think that order helps us set out ways that we would think through the right planning of a mission trip and all the ideas and things that we'd do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the criticism I mentioned earlier, you know, about the need here or we don't have all the resources, that does mean you have to be very strategic in where you go, what you do, and how you go about doing it. And recognizing who you have as your church is important too. You don't need to go to maybe do leadership training if you've got a brand new church with a bunch of baby Christians that are there trying to help raise up. So knowing your flock is important to know who do you invite and vice versa. If you're on the field and you're wondering, you know, what kind of team do I need to invite, be very specific. Saying these are the kind of people that we really need for this specific ministry setting or this context or what we're trying to achieve on the field, you know, the more specific it can be, the better the fit becomes with the church. So the church first, you know, takes stock of who you have and what you have and when you can go. So I think that's the start of how do we put this together and then prepare well.
Mm.
Sometimes we can kind of think, well, God's got it all, and he does. He's much bigger than us, and I can tell you story after story of how God has used even the foolishness of my preaching to save some, which I praise God that he is sovereign and not dependent. But we need to do our best to prepare our people for the work of ministry. That's exactly what we're called to do as pastors, right? To prepare the saints for the work of ministry. And that includes getting them ready to go on a short-term trip.
Yeah, I think preparation is often a question for churches. What does it look like to prepare well for a trip? A lot of the preparation or the meetings, pre-trip meetings, often deal with like logistics. Hey, here's how you need to pack. Here's all the different vaccines that you need to be able to get into XYZ country and avoid coming back with, you know, typhoid or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are, I don't know, the kinds of shoes I need to wear and stuff like that. And that's a part of mm-hmm. the preparation. But what are some other things that you would encourage churches to work into their rhythms of preparation mm-hmm. before a trip?
That's a great question. One, to recognize this is the church, right? The church is a part of this. So casting the vision to the whole church. So if you've got the chance to stand before the church, give the need, give the call for, hey, here's who we're going to go serve, here's why, and let the church be a part of the prayer and the preparation for that because you're doing this together as a body. You're sending out the team together as a body as well. So help the church be a part of that. Help the church be praying for the team, for the actual people who are going to be hearing the gospel. Send them together. Commission the team. So this is a big part of that. And so when they come back to celebrate together what God's done,
yeah.
Because a lot of times we, like even prayer requests, we can say, pray for this, but we never tell them what God did with the answer to that prayer or anything else. The same thing for a trip. So when they come back. But actually for the team getting ready to go, prepare them for the task of the ministry, right? So if they're going to teach ESL as part of what they're going to be doing, train them to teach ESL. Don't expect them to pick it up on the field or even the gospel. Sometimes we can assume that people know how to articulate the gospel or different presentations. So sometimes just leading them through that or even how to lead someone to faith in Christ. Sometimes we can get there and be surprised when somebody says, yeah, actually, I do want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, you know, sometimes we can get dumbfounded. So help them know how do you do that? And how do you help set them up for discipleship afterwards? So that's one thing. Prepare them for the culture. One thing that we used to do a lot, if we had nationals that are a part of our congregation, like say if we were going to India, we would host the team at our house. We would prepare an Indian meal and we would just have our brothers say, you know, just share how we can be respectful in your culture. Mm. How can we help be a blessing to those who are going to? And, you know, just even asking that question to a national and meant so much that we would even include him as a brother in our church congregation to be pivotal in leading, helping our team get ready to go and serve.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
People in his nation. You may not have that. You know, you may just have to. Sure. You may not have that at your disposal, but just talk to the missionary that you're going to serve and say, hey, let that be a part of our time. Like, what are some things that we can do, culturally speaking, to get ready to be a blessing or not a hindrance? Because a lot of times we assume that people think and process things the same way that we do in the West because that's just what we're used to. So we present things the same way. Or we could be offensive and not really know it just by crossing our legs or putting our feet on something or throwing the Bible on the floor, right? So we may just completely lose our opportunity to witness in that. So hearing about the culture, preparing them from that, preparing them to work as a team. Mm-hmm. Sometimes fundraising is a big thing to do together, right? We would go take teams together to bus tables, and sometimes it would be a blessing to the restaurant that we would go and serve because they would get more people because we would share haycum during this time. They would give us like a percentage. You know, we didn't walk away with much, but we were a blessing to the restaurant. We were building the team together because they had to work on a project before they went overseas where the pressure went up, right? So some of those things, just kind of think through that spiritual warfare, you know, just being prayerful and mindful about what they're doing because we're asking God to do miracles, meaning for someone to receive faith in Jesus Christ is a miracle. A dead person is coming to life and blind people are now being able to see. So those are just a few things that you can prepare your team for.
Well, and as you walk through them, like there's all kinds of preparation that goes into a moment like this. And the preparation, if you'll notice, a lot of the things Walter mentioned, they're transferable skills to any ministry setting that we're going to find ourselves in, right? Like knowing how to share the gospel, knowing how to lead people to faith, being able to work as a team and ministry together, understanding the importance of spiritual warfare and the present reality that it is and the ministry that we're engaged in. Like a lot of these things are transferable skills outside of that short-term team. And so by using a short-term team training as a means of equipping your people for that one task, you're actually equipping them for these tasks and just the regular life and ministry of the church. I think that's a really important point when it comes to our preparation for short-term trips and the fact that it bleeds over into training for all kinds of other settings. And you said one other thing that I think is important for us to pick up in the how and the preparation. There were two or three times you mentioned reach out to the field team and maybe ask them about particular things that we need to do in order to equip. And I think that assumes something in your preparation for the trip and deciding like how you're going to go and what you're going to do when you're there. I think it's super important for us to make the trip in such a way that the field team sets the strategy, not the church. Now, you served overseas as a missionary. I've served overseas as a missionary. And we have a number of friends and alumni here at the school that have done so. So we all know the trope of the church that calls kind of out of nowhere and offers, we'd love to come do X for you. We've never asked for it. We had never planned on having that done. It really doesn't fit anywhere in our strategy, but now we have this church that's asking, can they come do this thing? And of course, you know, missionaries share those stories and they laugh about them and how you have to deal with that. But one of the things that I think is really important for us to consider in developing any short-term mission strategy, we need to let the field set the strategy. We talked about the audiences and the order that they go in. Let your field team decide what you're coming to do. And that then determines a lot of the particular things that you would be engaged in as far as preparation as well. They know what needs to happen long-term there. And they'll know what your week, 10 days can best do there. So let them be the experts on what you're coming to do. And then put your church and your team in the posture of a learner to learn from that field team how best to serve in that place. I think that's one thing that I would add as far as that's concerned. One other quick thing I think we need to hit, Walter, is a conversation about where, right? So we've talked about why. We've talked about how if a church is thinking I need to be doing this, where in the world should they go? Is a question that a lot of churches are trying to answer right now.
So and you heard this last week from William as well, that just the blessing it was for him to be able to go to Japan to serve alongside a missionary that his church had sent out. So if you've been blessed to send missionaries from your church, that would be a perfect place to start, because you're continuing an ongoing relationship and support as the church that has sent them out. So that would be the place that I would start if you have that. If you don't have that, you do have association or partners or other churches nearby that are taking trips, and maybe see some of the trips that they're taking. Be a friend, be a neighbor, right? And see if you can go with them and be a part of that. You would be a blessing to the greater kingdom of God, being able to work alongside other brothers and sisters. And that would give you exposure to a new ministry setting.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you have to continue going with the same church. That may just kind of get your foot into the door and see, is this a long-term strategy for partnership? And I would approach it that way as well, not just a one-off mission trip here and there, but really who can you partner with to make long-term impact? Other ways of doing this are people that are in your own backyard. Like, who are you already engaged in? The nations have come here.
That's right.
And so you heard that with Chloe's testimony as well. The mission trip that she went on was here in the United States and being exposed to several different cultures around here. So if there's some cultures that you're already engaged in, maybe consider taking a mission trip to that location as well.
Yeah, there's several different ways to get started, right?
Yeah.
Not every church is fortunate enough to have already sent out missionaries. If you are, there's your low-hanging fruit. Partner with those you've sent, right? If not, maybe there's other churches nearby, as you point out, at the association or somewhere, that they're close churches. So if their missionaries are home on stateside, they'd be able to come and spend some time with your church as well.
Yes.
And you and that church might could do joint trips together. So there's something about working with churches that are nearby. But also, we've got all these opportunities by diaspora missions. And, and there's these people groups that now find themselves here in our own cities. And you may have some of those around your church, and it would be ideal. The number of churches I know now who are doing what you just suggested there, they've found a group that's nearby their church. And so they've decided that's actually leading them to their locations overseas as well.
Yes. And one other is too, like, because if you're thinking, well, maybe I don't really have any of these things going on for me. One of the denomination partners that we have, the International Mission Board, as SBC members, right? So you can go on their website, imb.org, and look at short-term mission trips. And they have a list of places that
that's
they
exactly
would
right.
love for you to get plugged into. So that's another option as well if you're still kind of figuring out, you know, how do I start in that?
Yeah. And so you've got a number of ways to do it in front of you. And there's a bunch of different ways to find those locations where you might start. I think our encouragement, Walter and I both probably, I know we've talked about this enough, would be to make it more of a rifle strategy than a shotgun strategy, or a water hose instead of a sprinkler, if you will. And so focus in on opportunities that can turn into long-term partnerships.
Yes.
You'll wind up seeing the ball move further if you can do that, instead of seeing how many different countries you can hit in a few years. It winds up creating for you longevity. You have people in your church that are going back to the same place over and over again. You have missionary teams that you're developing long-term relationships with that way, and you can pray for them. You can support them. Your church learns who they are, and it winds up creating a whole lot of beneficial opportunity when we think strategically about developing a real partnership with specific places overseas.
Yeah. And one thing that I would say, it kind of helps in that strategy of when you got the team that comes back, you might even just say, hey, would you like to record just a 3-minute video? Everybody, or a lot of people, have smartphones.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have to be high tech or anything like that. But this helps them to debrief, really, and process what they've just experienced. It gives them a voice to be able to share with others, hey, here's what I saw God do. And it could be just those two questions, like a 3-minute video. Just ask, what did you see God do while you were there? And what word of encouragement would you give to someone, say, next year who wants to take this trip
exactly. As
well? So you'd really kind of create an opportunity for them to share what they've experienced, but then also to encourage your church as a family of knowing this is who we've been praying for. This is maybe an opportunity for me to go and be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah, and then you can start creating those rhythms in your church of being involved and engaged in that long-term partnership. I think that's an excellent point and opportunity there. Well, for those of you who are listening, I really hope that this has been a beneficial conversation for you. We covered a lot of ground on thinking through short-term mission strategy and the whys and the hows and the wheres. Hopefully, this is a benefit to you and you can use it. If you've got questions coming out of this, I would encourage you to reach out to us here in the office. You can get us at cgcs@sebts.edu. That's the email address. And you can ask Walter or I either one questions. In fact, we'd be happy to talk specifically with your church about thinking through how you could, too, start up a short-term mission strategy like this. Or if you've got one running and you're like, I'd really like to give it some more alignment than what we have right now and maybe find out how to better use this strategy, then we'd be happy to help with that. That's the kind of stuff that we do around here for our local churches. So I hope that this has been helpful for you. Feel free to share it with others. You can, of course, find us wherever podcasts are found. And thanks again for listening. This is The Scentline. All right, welcome to the next episode of The Scent Life. If you joined us last week, we said that this was going to be a two-parter on short-term mission trips. And you'll also recall that Scott Hildreth is not here with us for these episodes. We're not quite sure where he is, in fact. No, I don't need to say that, do I? We've tried to locate him and can't find him.
The past couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let me start that over.
I really want to keep that
down. I know. We're not really sure where he is.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right.
Have you been called to ministry? There's never been a better time to answer God's call to prepare at Southeastern because many of our students are able to receive rigorous ministry training in our MDiv program at little to no cost. Visit sebts.edu/MDiv to find out how you can get your MDiv fully funded today.